DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So to be completely honest, we're going to be pretty laid back today, kind of a looser show for us because a lot has happened over the last couple of days. And frankly, I just want to make sure we get it all in. So at the very end of today's show, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to kind of leave some space open for kind of some free-for-all stuff. I'll take a few of the comments from folks who are watching live on video just to make sure I didn't leave something out from the recruiting weekend that I need to make sure we get to. Georgia hosted a bunch of guys this weekend. We're going to talk about that. A couple of major UGA recruiting targets made some pretty significant announcements. One of those, I think I initially misinterpreted, but I've joked about this before, but I mean this in all sincerity. I'm not always really good at deciphering these social media messages. I read them and think they mean one thing. Come to find out, other people kind of interpret them a slightly different way. We have an example of that from a major UGA recruiting target. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. So we are as packed can be on this Monday before the start of the early signing period on Wednesday. Let me begin, though, before Chip Towers joins us in a few minutes, with the weekend of visitors for Georgia. There were a lot of them. It wouldn't be possible for me to highlight all of them in the time that we have allotted here, but there are a couple of examples of things that I want to hit. As you might imagine, I'm going to talk for a moment about five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood, who took his visit, was on campus. I believe we have from Hazelwood's Instagram a few pics to show you here, and just like everybody else, Hazelwood kind of showing up with the black jersey on, the way that so many recruits like to take pictures in that jersey. Now, Georgia doesn't wear those in games, as you know, or at least they haven't in a while, but the recruits all love to pose in those. Hazelwood does as well, and I love his line here. He says, "I ain't got to tell you about my story. You can see it in my eyes." Obviously showing a look of focus and determination as he gets ready to do that. So Hazelwood having a good time on his UGA official visit. And I guess my point here in starting with Hazelwood being on campus and kind of having that moment there is, I know that some of you have grown a little tiresome of what you feel is an excessively dramatic recruitment. But I guess the more I look at things with Hazelwood, the more I come to the conclusion that this actually is a recruitment that is not that far outside the boundaries of what we normally think of as normal. That this is not some really weird story we're going to be telling for years and years to come of how crazy all this was. What this actually is a fairly conventional recruiting storyline for me of a five-star athlete, regardless of position. He happens to be a wide receiver. Five-star athlete at a wide receiver position. It could have been a linebacker. It could have been a cornerback. Could have been a whatever. Hazelwood happens to be a wide receiver. That's going to be a contested recruitment. You're going to have people from outside the state coming in and trying to sway Hazelwood, trying to get his attention because you see the wide receiver skills that he possesses. He's going to be a contested recruitment. And it should not really be expected for it to be easy for Georgia. Now, some guys make it a little easier than Hazelwood's chosen to make it. Dominic Blaylock, one of the reasons why he's such a popular guy with so many UGA fans is because he's allowed Georgia to focus in on other recruiting battles because Blaylock has been so sure from the get-go that he wanted to be a Georgia Bulldog. That makes Blaylock a really special player, and no doubt he'll be very popular at UGA because of stuff like that. But the fact that Hazelwood has chosen to be a little more cautious, maybe is the right word, a little more cautious with his process, I don't think should make him the opposite of a fan favorite. And I really think that as we get close to what's going to happen on Wednesday, no matter what the, and I guess for Hazelwood, it stretches into early January, but no matter what the eventual decision ends up being with Hazelwood, because this was Georgia's last chance to impress him, I think you've got to say that Georgia's done a pretty good job with this recruitment. They were sort of viewed as being out of it when Hazelwood decommitted, but as things kind of cycle back through here, Georgia's still very much in it. I'm going to go back to last Tuesday when Jeff Centel had a chance to speak to Jaden Hazelwood on the heels of Hazelwood's Cedar Grove team winning a state championship. And Hazelwood expressed that evolution of opinion about UGA, going from thinking, is this a team that wants to throw the football? Is this a team that wants to open it up and be multidimensional the offense? Is it all about the running backs for a UGA? Those are fair questions for a wide receiver to have. And based on Hazelwood's own words, you certainly get the impression that Georgia has done a pretty good job of answering the questions that Hazelwood might have had. Here is Hazelwood with Jeff speaking more warmly about UGA than really any point in time over the last few months. And with Hazelwood having just been at Georgia and the photo that we just showed you from that visit, these words become all the more poignant. Here's Hazelwood once again.
I feel like they're going to open the throwing game up a little bit. Coach Hankman, good coach. He played in the league as well. So
do you feel about Georgia right now? Have they put a push on you lately? I mean, they've got a couple in homes. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the message you're getting from Georgia right now?
It's the same message, man. You know, since I've been committed, they treat me the same way. Ever since I've been committed and before, they're still on me hard.
Still on him hard, he says, and no doubt they rolled out the red carpet for him this weekend, as they should, and no doubt for Hazewood and a lot of these guys, this was a great weekend for a UGA visit. I would only imagine that the Georgia folks certainly really impressed the guys they got a chance to entertain. It wasn't just Jaden Hazewood, by the way. It's also four-star linebacker Tresman Marshall as well. Marshall comes up with a tweet this weekend that caught my eye, caught my attention. He says, 110% committed. I will be signing Wednesday, December 19th. Go Dogs. That's Hazel, I should say Marshall there in all his Georgia gear, smiling and feeling good. And the words there, 110% committed. Once again, I'm going to do my part to interpret the social media here, but I read that as Tresman Marshall officially shutting things down. That sounds like no more consideration of Tennessee, no more consideration of Auburn, which we heard about a couple of weeks ago. That sounds like for Marshall, it's a done deal, and there's no drama to be had when he makes his announcement and signs that letter of intent on December 19th. Tresman Marshall says he's all dog. The reason why that catches my eye is because if you want to go back to last week, once again, Tresman Marshall speaking to Dog Nation. If you're watching on video, you just saw him jerk the microphone away from Jeff Sintel like he's, you know, Hulk Hogan with Mean Gene Okerlund. But nonetheless, Marshall with that microphone in his hand had a lot to say last week about the Tennessee Vols. Apparently, that's no longer an issue, but for a little bit of context for why the announcement on Twitter from Marshall is relevant, here is what he said a little bit less than a week ago.
Go Vols.
Go Vols, huh?
Nah, I'm flint. Hey, go Dogs, man. I mean, we'll find out. Sign of day coming up soon. We'll find out.
What are you working through right now? What do you still have to decide there?
Still got to decide. I think I decided by now, but, I mean, I got a week, so never know. We'll just find out sign of day.
How hard will it be for somebody to pull you away from the Georgia class?
Coach here can pull, no. Coach here can pull, so we just got to find out and see. It's hard to fight against Athens, but Coach here can pull, so we'll just see.
Why did you wear Georgia gloves today?
I have the Tennessee gloves.
So here we have less than a week ago. You've got a guy saying, I would have worn some Tennessee gloves this game, but I didn't have any, and basically wanted to make it sound like he was still a possibility to flip over to Kevin Shearer and the Tennessee Vols. And here we are over the weekend tweeting out, hey, I'm 110% committed. No drama for me whatsoever. I'm signing with the Dogs on December the 19th. And with Jaden Hazelwood and a lot of the other guys who were visiting this weekend, I think what you come to, and I know that Chip wrote about this at DogNation.com over the weekend. We're actually going to have Chip Towers on the show here coming up in just a moment. And I'm reminded of the word that he used in one of his Towers Takes pieces. He called Kirby Smart a closer, and that's what Kirby is. You know, recruiting is supposed to be hard. There's a reason why the same small number of programs sign all the elite players, or the overwhelming majority of the elite players, year after year, because there are a lot of programs that can get visits. There are a lot of programs that can generate some social media activity, but actually getting ink on a letter of intent is not an easy thing to do, and the same ones seem to do it the most every single recruiting season. And Kirby Smart is one of those closers. If you watch the movie like Glengarry Glen Ross or something like that, I mean, you know, the coffee is for closers. Always be closing. That's what Kirby Smart does. And so he gets guys like Tresman Marshall to shut it down. I think he gets guys like Jaden Hazelwood to reconsider coming back home to the program that you've loved since you were a sophomore in high school. I think Kirby Smart's good at that too. And Hazelwood, what I believe is going to happen with him, Marshall, what we have seen happen with him, I think there are a lot of other examples maybe flying below the radar right now where those same kinds of things are going on. We are heading towards Wednesday. It's going to be a great, fun week here at Dog Nation as Kirby Smart does what he does best, and that is get guys to commit to the G and be a part of this program for the next 3 to 4 years, and my, oh, my, how much talent is UGA going to have once this recruiting cycle is all said and done? My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Speaking of recruiting news, we've actually got more to get to coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me welcome everybody in, saying thanks for watching us, however you get to us today, or if you listen to us. You know, it's video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation, the Facebook page, the YouTube page, the Twitter feed, the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, we like to say wherever podcasts are found. We're just really glad you're with us today. Really appreciate Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. You know, Marco's is the MVP of Primo Pizza with dough made fresh daily, a original sauce recipe used by the Giammarco family going back a century or more, and it's three signature cheeses blended together. It's every bite, every day, every store the Italian way. You can order yours today from Marcos.com, and let me tell you something, Marcos Pizza will take good care of you, especially this time of year when everybody's running around doing a bunch of stuff. Marcos Pizza, great way to kind of sort of make dinner or lunch, whatever, easy and kind of effort-free on your part. Let Marcos do the work and take advantage of that great offer that's out there from you for Marcos Beats. All right, as I promised a moment ago, we will get Chip Towers here coming up in just a little bit. There's actually some news coming out of Sugar Bowl practices, at least on a message board chatter involving a player who was not seen. So we'll get some updates from we'll get some updates coming up on that in just a couple minutes from Chip Towers here on Dog Nation Daily. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here on this Monday presented by Pella Window and Door. Now, I do want to talk more about recruiting here for a moment. And as I said off the top of the show, and I'm not just being, you know, folksy when I say this, I'm going to do my best to try to cover everything that there's out there today, and hopefully I don't miss anything. As I said, I'm going to try to leave some space at the end of the show in case there's something big that we didn't mention that we need to. It's, you know, you're trying to collect all this and kind of bring all this together under one roof for one day coming off this huge recruiting weekend for UGA. So we'll try to do our part to cover all of this. What caught my eye and I found very interesting was a tweet from Tyreek Stevenson, another one of these guys, much like Jaden Hazelwood, who we think we're not going to hear from until the beginning of January in terms of his recruitment. But Stevenson did tweet out something this weekend. Now, had I read this on my own, I would have interpreted this. Let me just read the tweet, and then I'll talk about the interpretation. Here's Tyreek Stevenson. He says, "With my recruitment coming to an end, I'd like to thank all coaches and programs for taking the time to recruit me and offer me. But Stevenson says, I will be choosing out of the University of Miami and the University of Georgia December the 19th. Now, I would have initially taken that as Stevenson moving up his timeline, changing it from what was going to be a January decision to a now he's going to announce on Wednesday, December the 19th. But the conventional wisdom here in the room seems to be that we're thinking that he's not saying he's announcing to the public on December 19th, much like we think Jaden Hazelwood's going to do. He's telling the school of his choice, hey, I'm coming to you, maybe either signing a letter of intent or a financial aid paperwork, but not telling the public until January the 5th. That's kind of what we're thinking on that. So that's the interesting thing with Tyreek Stevenson. Now, I guess the other news from that tweet is it would seem to be that there's a program eliminated there. Now, for the most part, in our minds, we've kind of had Florida eliminated for a while. But Florida fans, one of the grains of hope they were trying to cling to in their message boards was they may be able to kind of get in and get involved with a guy like Tyreek Stevenson. But Stevenson just eliminated Florida in that tweet. It's now down to just Georgia and Miami. And, by the way, if you are a Georgia fan, I mean, listen, anything can happen. Crazy stuff happens all the time. But if you're a Georgia fan, you can't help but feel pretty good about the situation with Stevenson right now, given the fact that Miami is in so much turmoil. We covered that a lot last week here on a Dog Nation Daily. But in terms of what the process with Stevenson in Georgia has been, let me go back in time here a little bit. What does Kirby Smart say to Tyreek Stevenson when he has a chance to make his pitch to him? Well, recently, Stevenson talked to Jeff Sintel about that very subject. Here is Kirby's message to Tyreek Stevenson from Stevenson's own words.
What does Kirby tell you?
We're trying to dominate, put Georgia back on the map as SEC schools, and we need dogs like you to do it.
There you go. I mean, that's all you got to say right there. We're trying to dominate. We think you're a dominator, so come over here and dominate with us. Be a dog, as Stevenson likes to say there. And something else that's kind of always been floating out here, even though Miami has worked hard and even though Miami has tried to really stay in close with Stevenson given the geographic advantage it has here, we know that in the past, Stevenson has been, in his own description, close to pulling the trigger on a UGA commitment. Remember, Stevenson was one of those guys that was at the, quote, reveal. Do you remember when the West End Zone facility was first opened up? If memory serves, he even got to cut the ribbon there that day, be a part of that ribbon-cutting ceremony. The red carpet rollout from Georgia that day was so impressive to Stevenson back then that he almost committed to the program way back then but decided to pump the brakes on that. Once again, here's Tyreek Stevenson to explain.
I talked to my mom about it, and my mom was like, you know, we're on your time. You know, don't make a decision off, you know, how much excitement you have at one event. You know, just keep visiting and seeing what's up. Man, my mom is really into it, so we really talked about it. So it crossed, and then I missed it, and then it went away. Like, we talked about it on my time and how I'm going to do it this way and that way. So
it was thought of, maybe chopped up, and you decided not to make a quick decision or a rush or an impulsive decision, right?
Yeah, so that's what it really was.
So listen, I mean, you love the idea that he almost wanted to commit to UGA before. At the time, he says, hey, it was way too soon to do that. I've got to operate on my own timeline. Well, the tweet you just saw from Stevenson gives you an indication. That timeline is now complete. On December the 19th, this Wednesday, he's going to tell somebody yes, either Georgia or Miami, and tell somebody else no. And a lot of dog fans holding out a good thought that it is indeed going to be UGA he chooses. With that in mind, let me show you one more piece of social media from over the weekend. Once again, I'm forced to do a little bit of interpreting on this, but I did happen to notice that Devod Wilson on his Instagram story had kind of an interesting message. Now, this is very cryptic, and I've got to read into this to get something out of this, but it says, ask me a question. We've seen these kinds of posts before. Who are you most excited to play with next year out of this year's recruiting class? Wilson says, just know that he's from the 305. That's the area code down in Miami, and he's going to be playing beside me in the near future. Now, it's not obvious that Devod Wilson is referencing Tyreek Stevenson in that Instagram story, but it certainly seems to be an indication he's thinking about Tyreek Stevenson. So pretty interesting stuff here for Georgia as it finds out about a lot of these guys. We probably won't hear anything from Stevenson this week. Sounds like Georgia will, and the tea leaves for me seem to make me think it may be good news there. All right, it's Around the Doghouse. It's brought to you by Pella Window and Door. You know, they can equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're family-owned and operated, and they've got a branch right here in Georgia. That means you get local service backed by a national company. And you can also get 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. And that's an offer that's valid through the end of the year, so you want to make sure you take advantage of that because we are coming up on the end of the year here right now. So you can schedule your free in-home consultation a couple of different ways. You can either go to PellaSoutheast.us, that website once again, PellaSoutheast.us, or you can give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best. Good to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, and hope you enjoy Chipped Hours right now.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So a little Chip Towers on this Monday, and Chip, I was saying before you joined us that we're going to do our part on the program to try to cram really everything from what has actually turned out to be a really busy weekend for Georgia, both on field and recruiting and everything else, into kind of one show here. So we kind of appreciate you helping us do our part, trying to keep up with all of this. And first of all, let me say hello to you and hope things are going well. Thanks so much for being with us here today.
Hey, it's always my pleasure to be with you, Brandon Adams.
Good to hear that, Chip. I really appreciate that. And I guess if you don't mind, let me begin with something that message boards have kind of been buzzing about over the last couple of days. Thoughts coming out of Georgia that Luke Ford, a four-star tight end signee from the 2018 class, has not been seen around Athens as of late. Anything that you can tell us on what might be going on with Ford here? Because, you know, obviously, you know, given what might happen with the Georgia roster in the future, you know, Ford's status becomes kind of an interesting thing. What do we know about Ford right now?
Well, what we know is he's not with the team right now. And actually, Brandon, I've just posted a story just in the last few minutes on Dog Nation. People can go there and read about it. The understanding, somebody close to the situation has confirmed to Dog Nation that he is back home in Carterville, Illinois, with his family. But the plan is to return to Athens and rejoin the team on December 26th. As you know, Brandon, the team leaves for New Orleans on December 27th. So, I don't know all the intimate details, but it sounds like just one of those situations where a kid's a long, long way from home and just a little homesick and asked for us and been granted the opportunity to spend a little additional time for his family over the holidays. This is not a small thing from the standpoint. I didn't really realize it until I went to look at it. Luke Ford has played in pretty much every game. He's dressed out for every game for Georgia this year. And, while he hadn't taken a ton of snaps with Charlie Warner, Isaac Nauta, and Jackson Harris to some extent, taking the majority of the reps for the offense, he came in a lot as a, H-back, fullback type of situation, got a lot of reps, like I said, traveled for every game, dressed out for every game, and actually had one catch for 9 yards. So the understanding at this point is he's going to come back and join the team. What the dynamics are that, are, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, we respect, you know, these guys, you know, personal privacy, and that it may not be a big deal, but other just need some time at home.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, Chip, and I talk about this a lot, where my definition of the word depth and a player's definition of the word depth oftentimes are very different. You know, there's this thought, if you're Luke Ford, of, hey, I'm obviously speculating here, but certainly you would assume that he'd love to be the feature tight end. He'd love to be the guy on the field more than anybody else, and it's probably a little frustrating that in his mind there's too much depth in front of him in that position right now. But as a fan, and I'm assuming the coach is probably thinking the same way, this is one of those deals of, you know, Georgia could lose Isaac Nata. Nata could go on to the NFL. And Jackson Harris graduating. At that point in time, you know, you're going to need one of these tight ends that's a little farther down on the roster to step in and fill some of the void left by tight ends who are not going to be on the team, you know, next season, or at least the potential of Nata not being on the team next season. So this is one of those deals for me where if Luke Ford happened to not play in the Sugar Bowl, I'm not even sure anybody would notice. But if Luke Ford's not going through spring practice next year, and it sounds like there's a very good chance that he will be, but if for some reason he would decide that he wants to go play college football closer to home, something like that, that would be a pretty significant loss for Georgia in my mind.
Well, there's no question about that. And look, Brandon, you know this, and we all know this, at this point in time, you know, this is the altitude, you know, that Georgia is flying right now. And this is the challenging side of recruiting the way Georgia is recruiting. I mean, you're and Kirby's not apologetic about it, nor should he be, but you are constantly recruiting, you know, the same positions every year. You're trying to get better at every position all the time. And as good as somebody is, there always can be somebody out there better. And that's, you know, the flip side of it is, you know, the NCAA allows you 85 scholarships. So you want the best players filling every one of those slots all the way down the line. And you know, Kirby's roster management is one of the fascinating things about this. The flip side of it, the downside of it, not everybody can play. Only 22 can play. You know what, maybe 44, you know, have a real active role in one game to another. And if you're signing what, you know, Georgia has the potential to end up with, 35 stars on their roster after this recruiting period. You know, it's going to be a couple of dozen at least, no matter how the rest of recruiting shakes out. And that is, hey, you know, let's face it, that's more difficult to manage than it is if you have, a group of all stars and then another group of also ran. This is a very competitive situation, and I don't know if any of that plays into what's going on with Luke Ford, but the bottom line is, you know, Nata is certainly going to get an evaluation from the NFL. He'd be crazy if he didn't. You know, that leaves you with Charlie Warner. Jackson Harris is graduating. You've got Luke Ford now. Georgia has a commitment. Guy's expected to sign, according to Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel, is a four-star Ryland Gogue, I believe it's pronounced, out of Kennesaw Mountain. 6'7", 240 pounds. And you got John Fitzpatrick, who's there. I assume he got a red shirt out of the season. The kid, big kid out of Marist, really big, smart, good-looking kid out of Marist. And you know, he's going to be back by all accounts. So, you know, those guys are all going to be battling for reps next year.
And there was also the rumors the other day, you know, Jalen Harris was a tight end that was transferring from Auburn, and he had listed Georgia as one of his finalists for where you might transfer. And sometimes it's hard to know if a player lists you as a finalist if you were really, you know, interested in that kid or not. But I believe it became official over the weekend. I think Harris is going to Colorado, right? Yeah, so he's going to play with Jay Johnson in Colorado, that it gives at least some credence to the fact that Georgia may have been considering him if he that quickly signed up to go play that far away for Jay Johnson out there. So in addition to the guys that are on the roster, there's also, you know, these kind of rumors and whispers out there that Georgia might be looking to attract a transfer tight end, which goes back to your issue about Kirby Smart being a roster manager. To me, it's the most fascinating part of all this, too, the way that, you know, he is always tinkering with that 85-man roster. It makes Georgia better in the long run, but boy, there's not going to be a headache-free day when you are constantly looking to make minor upgrades to every single player, you know, on your roster. That's going to create its opportunities for headaches, is it not?
Well, this is one of the things I enjoy the most about, covering Kirby Smart is that little period right after the bowl games in January, and before the team reconvenes, who's going to show up? You know, is there going to be a Maury Smith this year? Is there going to be, a Cameron Neiselick? You just never know. But his focus and concentration on improving his roster all the way across the board is nonstop. And, I think that's what makes a difference. And you can see, Brandon, when you get down to it, it's all about Alabama. You can see how close Georgia is with Alabama. And who knows, some of these little roster tweaks from one year to the next, and I'm not referring to recruiting as a little roster tweak, but it's always, a Cameron Neiselick. It might even be like a Jay Hayes from Notre Dame. I mean, yeah. He didn't come in and make some massive impact. But let me tell you, from a depth standpoint, he was in there at different times in the game. Who knows? Him coming in and giving, the A guy or the B guy a blow, what a difference that might have made in the fourth quarter. So it's fascinating to watch. And this recruiting season, let's all pause for a moment of silence for Jeff Sintel, that he's able to keep his energy and focus up throughout the week. We're going to help him as much as we can. We'll be his support staff this week as we barrel on down into this fascinating December National Signing Day.
You're right about that. And as that's going on, there's also, preparation for the Sugar Bowl as well. And, Chip, I'm kind of curious to see your thoughts on how Georgia chooses to approach this game, because if you look at the teams that are not in the playoff, there are really two schools of thought for what bowl games are about. Like, look at the stuff coming out of Auburn right now. It's almost all directed towards 2019. And, there's, talk about, who might be the quarterback after, Jared Stidham's gone and things like that. This is pretty clearly a head start on 2019 practices for a team like Auburn, at least my perception of what's going on there for its, sort of lower tier bowl game. Do you think Georgia's going to treat this as a period of time to get younger players ready? I mean, is this a game that really matters to this Georgia team? And I hate to ask the question so bluntly, but not everybody, kind of views these non-playoff bowl games the same way. I don't know that LSU's that into what they're doing in the Fiesta Bowl, for instance, against UCF. Just overall, given, your kind of feel on this, how do you think Georgia's going to choose to approach the Sugar Bowl?
Well, I think you asked that kind of half knowing the answer there, Brandon. I mean, I answer it two ways, okay? I mean, I think Georgia's going to be supremely focused for this. I disagree with everybody that Georgia might be distracted. They might be disappointed. This team's kind of, as the year has gone along, sort of played with a chip of increasing size on its shoulder. I think that thing became a major boulder when they went into the Alabama game, and it had a lot to do with them, staking themselves to a two-score lead in that game. This is a team that has a lot to prove. I think it's just rabid when it comes to that. And, Kirby's not going to have a hard sell on this Sugar Bowl being a proving ground that you belong in the 14 playoff, regardless of how it played out and regardless of him saying the politically correct things that he understood, how it shook out. You're playing the Texas team. This is going to be the sexy pick, I'm sure, when everybody does their little bowl breakdowns. There are going to be a lot of people pick the burnt orange and saying that they're going to have the emotional edge. But I think, so my second part of this is I do think it is the first game of the 2019 season for Georgia, because let's face it, Brandon, Georgia's going to be in everybody's top four to start next season. I think that's justified. And I think Georgia can do a lot to validate what 2019 is going to look like by the way they come out and play in this last game of 2018.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Chip. Let me finish our conversation on a slightly different subject here. I know you had a chance to be in Stegman Coliseum on Saturday for what for a while looked like was going to be a great signature win for Tom Crean against a ranked Arizona State team. And then the lead slips away there at the end. Hammonds fouls out. That becomes kind of an issue there. Your overall thoughts on kind of what you saw on Saturday from Crean's team? It's really an entertaining game. I think in the early stages here of the Tom Crean era, this is clearly a more fun fun team to watch than the one that Mark Fox coached was. But this was a game on Saturday that could have really, you know, been a springboard into the SEC season for Georgia, and it slipped away. You know, what were your thoughts on seeing the Dogs against the Sun Devils on Saturday?
Well, you know, it's definitely a two-sided sword there, Brandon, because, you know, the fact of the matter, I mean, here's the bottom line. Arizona State is a very good team, okay? I mean, that's, you know, they're probably, they might be the top team in the Pac-12. So the fact that you staked yourself to an 18-point lead against a team of that ilk, you know, it's impressive no matter what happened after that. But, you know, I have to tell you, I was actually with sorry about the dogs barking there in the background. I was actually sitting next to one of my fellow writers and said that he said, they can't blow this, can they? And this is with Georgia up 18 in the end of the first half. And I was like, oh, absolutely, they can. And Georgia proceeded to commit four direct turnovers in a row, three to end the first half and then one to start the second half. And that's, you know, and then the rest is kind of history. And then the way they played down the stretch was terrible. So it was a very difficult situation for it to, and it's going to hurt them because they had a chance to really have a program building win. And unfortunately, they're not going to.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I guess, you know, my overall final point on that is, you know, as someone who would obviously like to see Georgia in the tournament, but I guess we'll settle for entertaining basketball, at the very least, at least right now, Georgia's more fun to watch than it used to be.
Well, they absolutely are. And I mean, that's what I say. I mean, there are so many good things about this team. Nick Claxton is incredible to watch to play, a 6'10", 6'11 guy moving around like he does. And then you have Rayshon Hammond, who's really taking it to a new level. And, you know, him fouling out with 4.5 minutes left in that game, you know, was really, well, you know, as Tom Crean said, it killed him.
Yeah.
So that was a very difficult situation for him to do. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I think Georgia's for real. It's actually something they can build on. I think Tom Crean can take the video from that game, certainly from the first half, and show recruits, hey, this is what we're going to look like, and we need you to get over that hump.
Chip, it's very well said. Great stuff. We really appreciate you being here today on Dog Nation Daily. We're going to look forward to reading a bunch from you at dognation.com, and, of course, we'll talk to you on the program again very soon as well.
Okay.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I was into that basketball game on Saturday. It seemed like Stegman Coliseum was kind of rocking and rolling a little bit. I was not at the game. I was at a family Christmas event. But it was one of those deals where, you know, I was following the game, and by the time you got to those final couple minutes, you had everybody kind of gathering around that TV to see what was going to happen for Georgia. And, you know, it is a missed opportunity, but I don't know. You know, I guess you got to take baby steps here, and I think this program is a long way away from any kind of real contention under Mark Fox, and so we'll see if Tom Crean can build a better foundation for the program. And you know, the SEC is good this year, but seeing how Georgia played for like the first 25 minutes, 30 minutes of this game against Arizona State makes me a little bit more hopeful they can be competitive in the SEC games. And in some ways, if you can just win your Saturday home games, you know, when you get a big crowd in the gym, and if you can just find a way to do that and sort of, you know, get people more excited, get recruits more excited about the upcoming season, the following season, that may be the way to go there. So Georgia loses a game it probably should have won, but it played pretty well for most of it. So we'll see how fans respond to what they saw from Tom Crean's team in that big spot on Saturday. Let's get ready to do our SEC through and kind of transition back to the world of college football and the SEC in general here. And by the way, let me mention my friends at MyBookie, because this time of year is a great time to be hanging out at MyBookie, because you want to talk about a way to make, you know, bowl season a lot more fun. You know, the Raycom Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, maybe that's not so interesting normally, but you get a little action on one side or the other on that one. All of a sudden, that becomes a lot more fun to watch. And, you know, of course, right now, MyBookie's got a great offer that makes getting involved for bowl season even better. Your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. But listen, y'all, you got to go right now to take advantage of that. Bowl games start again on Tuesday, I think the next bowl game is. And there's a big weekend, of course, again, coming up as we roll towards the holiday. So get involved in that right now by going to MyBookie. Find them online. That's MyBookie. Just find them online. Use the promo code DOGNATION, all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Then after that, you play, you win, you get paid. When you use that promo code DOGNATION, your first deposit will be matched up to 50%. Speaking of the bowls, so we gave out Fresno State on Saturday. I felt pretty good about that. One of the games that I did not mention, I would have gotten absolutely blasted on. This is one of those games where, thankfully, I did not have any action on. Appalachian State playing without its coach against a Middle Tennessee State team who had a lot to play for, the coach's son, quarterback's final game. Middle Tennessee State, who Georgia played early in the year, actually turned out to be a pretty good team. I was all over, when I tell you all over the Blue Raiders in this game, they lost 45-13. So it just goes to show you, in bowl games, sometimes you never know. All right, a couple things to get to for our SEC through. This is not SEC-related, but it is somewhat Georgia recruiting-related, and it's not a surprise. Trevor Keegan, the four-star offensive lineman from Illinois, who had been seemingly kind of trending away from Georgia for a while, or if you want to believe Georgia trending away from him. Either way, Keegan makes it official. He does commit to Michigan over the weekend, so that seems to be where this was going for a while. Keegan heading to Michigan away from the University of Georgia. Now, what's weird here about this, a lot of Georgia fans initially viewed the Keegan news as good news because they thought that might mean that Georgia was more involved with a Darnell Wright or more involved with an Evan Neal. You know, I've told you from the get-go, the Evan Neal thing has always strained my imagination that Georgia could really be in on him. Darnell Wright was the one I was hoping for the most, but Wright, who you're going to have to wait until February on him to begin with, and you know, a little bit of a blow this weekend. I believe it was reported, it's certainly been mentioned on message boards all over the place, that Wright visited Tennessee again this weekend. So I don't know what that means. I think Tennessee's probably the favorite for Wright, and Georgia had a chance to host him and impressed him. I guess they'll put their eggs on that basket heading into February. So I don't know if Keegan going to Michigan means that Georgia has an inside track in one of these guys or not, but he does get away. It is not very frequently that I say something good about Dan Mullen in Florida, but I want to do that. I was really glad to see Florida go on the record publicly and say that it has offered a 2-for-1 trade with UCF, the program that's complained and whined a lot as of late about its exclusion from the big boy status in college football. Florida says, hey, we would have played you 2-for-1. You can come give us 2 home games. We'll give you a home game there in Orlando. And according to Florida, UCF apparently doesn't really want to do this. I think it's good for Florida to kind of put it out there on that. And if you're UCF and you want to be considered a big boy in college football, these are the steps in the past you have to take. Because the fact that Florida's even willing to go any game in Orlando, I think is, I mean, that's a, you know, that's a pretty big step down for Florida to go play on the road at, some, American Athletic Conference team. So that's actually a pretty generous, benevolent act on Florida's part. As I said, I don't typically say good stuff for Florida, but Florida has apparently offered something to UCF. It was under no obligation to offer. And if UCF doesn't want that, then it's essentially choosing not to be a part of the major status when it comes to college football. A couple other things to get to here. I'm going to run through some of this kind of quickly. Malzahn has met with the media, Gus Malzahn, the Auburn coach, as they get ready for their bowl game. And he was forced to go on the record about what did or did not happen with Asa Martin. As we told you, the four-star running back signee from 2018 has announced his decision to transfer. And the subtext below all of this is Martin's claim that his redshirt situation was mishandled, that the Auburn coaches, at least one Auburn coach, played him deeper into the season more than the 4-game redshirt rule allows, and there was confusion on that. Gus Malzahn admits there was some confusion about Auburn coaches about whether or not you could play in 3 games or 4 games, but by the time they played him in Game 5 and Game 6, they knew they had burned his redshirt. That's not what Asa Martin claims here, though. The fact that Malzahn is even admitting there was any confusion whatsoever about the redshirt situation makes this a really weird deal for a running back that was celebrated by Auburn fans when he signed in 2018, but his departure makes Auburn not look particularly good here at all. One more Auburn note to get to. I saw there was a little hype coming about Joey Gatewood, another 2018 signee who I've never really felt like was a true quarterback necessarily, but some of the Auburn players who've dealt with him in practice have said Gatewood's pretty good. We'll kind of follow that. And then a final recruiting note to get to. Defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau, big-time 5-star prospect type guy, chose Auburn this past weekend. Now, he was never in the mix for, I should say, not Auburn, chose Oregon. I don't know where I got Auburn from. Chose Oregon this past weekend. He was never really in the mix for Georgia whatsoever, but there had been some chatter that he might be in the mix for Alabama. And so Alabama not getting Thibodeau, if you're trying to crunch the numbers for the possibility that Georgia could still be the number one class, it's going to be hard for Georgia to do mathematically. But if you're looking at the possibility of Georgia getting that number one class, Thibodeau choosing Oregon at least keeps some of those hopes alive a little bit, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, let me get back to Georgia here for a moment. I'm going to do so with our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure. I'm actually going to allow a lot of you guys to be a part of the Cool Under Pressure here today, courtesy of R.S. Andrews, as we try to take a few questions and comments as a part of our regular broadcast. We don't do that a ton during this portion of the show, but we're going to try to do some of that here today as we just try to make sure that we keep up to date on everything happening in this very busy weekend when it comes to UGA recruiting as you head towards Wednesday and signing day. If you got some thoughts on Luke Ford, we can try to do a little bit of that too as well, as Chip Towers does confirm that as of right now, Luke Ford is not with the team there. And of course, R.S. Andrews, Cool Under Pressure. You also think about this time of year when it gets cold outside. And over the last few days, we've had a lot of cold weather around Georgia. You want to make sure your house is toasty and warm and doing everything it's supposed to do. That's why you want that R.S. Andrews Furnace Tunis. Let me try that one more time. The R.S. Andrews Furnace Checkup. It's just $99, and it's going to get your factory, your furnace running to factory specs exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Trained techs, clean and on time, and they drive beyond just ordinary furnace checkups. They're going to check your heat exchanger for leaks, your filters, your flue, your vent, and a whole lot more. They're going to get your system back to factory fresh specs, and it's all just $99. Call R.S. Andrews, the heating, cooling, and plumbing, electrical pros that Dog Nation trust. You can find them online at rsandrews.com. We appreciate Dari and the folks from R.S. Andrews being a part of the program each and every Monday here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, let me dive in and get a couple of comments while we have a little bit of time to some folks talking about some of the transfer situation. Owen Popo's name comes up courtesy of Eric Morris. I think in the situation, Eric, appreciate the comment on Facebook there for that. I think the situation for Georgia, though, when it comes to Popo, the reason why once he trended away to Auburn and never really trended back is because I think that Georgia was very satisfied with what it had at the linebacker position. Tresman Marshall, who we talked about off the top of the program, who kind of shut it down. Georgia feels very good about him. Ryan Trouble Davis. I mean, I haven't seen anyone yet who's seen the film that Davis has put forth this year that doesn't think that Davis has a chance to be a real big-time contributing player. The same with N'Kobe Dean, who obviously, you know, information, at least the best that I can tell based on, you know, some of the chatter that I'm privy to, it seems to still be a big-time toss-up battle between Georgia and Alabama, maybe, you know, Ole Miss, I guess to a certain extent LSU, although it doesn't seem like you hear a ton about LSU. You really hear Georgia, Alabama, and a little bit of Ole Miss, but it's Dean who Georgia hopes for, it's Davis and Marshall who Georgia has, that it's really putting its focus on when it comes to that recruiting class at the linebacker position. If Popo had come to Georgia, he was more likely to be a safety, and frankly, I'm not sure what Popo would do as a safety that Otis Reese, who's going to be a year older, wouldn't be able to do as well. So that's one of the reasons I think you probably didn't hear Popo at any point in time ever trend back towards Georgia there. I mean, one way or another, Georgia has targeted who it's targeted, and Dean is one of those guys. We're going to hear a lot about this week. Trey Sanders is one of those guys we're going to hear a lot about this week as Georgia tries to put the finishing touches on what could be another very impressive recruiting cycle here for 2019. All right, speaking of recruiting, let's say thanks to Marlowe's for bringing the Marlowe's Minute to you every single day here on Dog Nation Daily as we head towards National Signing Day. Of course, our friends from Marlowe's got a great offer for you right now. It's holiday gift shopping without the heavy lifting. You can go to marlowestavern.com or the Marlowe's Tavern in your neighborhood and get a $50 Marlowe's Tavern gift card. And when you do, they're going to give you a gift, a bottle of Michelle Brut sparkling wine. And by the way, an even better offer than that, when you get the $100 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, not only do you get the Michelle Brut sparkling wine, but you also get a bonus $20 gift card there as well. So take advantage of that while you still have some time here as the holiday shopping season rolls on. You'll make everybody happy on your list with that. Something else that makes me happy, the fact that it's been 779 days since those lousy stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. It's our Gatorator Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily. We'll see you tomorrow.